Rebuilding after fires in LA, fraud in Minnesota, name-calling in France. Our stories come from near and far today, but my favorite is from Juba, South Sudan. Writer Caitlin Kelly takes us to Nyakurun Cultural Center, where each week, youthful 20-somethings who remember a country at war lift their voices in song, rap, and poetry. People in South Sudan are represented in 64 tribes. Differences contributed to a 5-year civil war that killed more than 400,000 people. Today, during war's respite, young people are doing the work to find more in common. People such as rapper Wego Young Soon are making this come to fruition. "We thought, how can we bring back smiles?" he told the Monitor. It's Wednesday, January 7th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, a curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado pledged to return to her home country after authoritarian leader Nicolas Maduro's capture over the weekend. Ms. Machado has praised President Donald Trump for seizing the authoritarian leader who pleaded not guilty to drug trafficking charges in New York on Monday. She escaped Venezuela in October to receive her Nobel Peace Prize in Norway and is calling for open elections. President Trump has said the country is not ready for a vote. European leaders rejected comments from the Trump administration about taking over Greenland, the semi-autonomous territory that is part of Denmark. While President Trump has claimed the United States needs the Arctic island, the joint statement reaffirms it belongs to its people. Denmark's Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen said an American annexation would spell the end of NATO and that the threat should be taken seriously. Also, law enforcement officer deaths dropped in the United States last year, according to the latest annual report from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. The 25% drop brought the number from 148 on-duty fatalities in 2024 to 111 in 2025. Even one officer fatality is too many, and our ultimate goal is to have none, the chief officer of the fund told the Associated Press. There were no on-duty deaths in 17 states or Washington, D.C. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Wildfires devastated LA area communities about a year ago. There are some signs of recovery, but many residents remain uncertain about whether or when they will be able to rebuild their homes. Ali Martin and Jacob Turcotte report from Los Angeles for The Monitor. After 20 years of stand-your-ground laws spreading to most U.S. states, experts see an accompanying rise in shooting deaths. South Carolina offers a lens on the issue. Patrick Johnson reports from Port Royal, South Carolina, for The Monitor. Brigitte Macron's legal victory over those who lied about her gender sets new limits on cyberbullying of public figures in France. But the French First Lady faces a far steeper challenge seeking similar relief in U.S. courts. Colette Davison reports from Paris for The Monitor. In South Sudan, young people have grown up in the shadow of war and ethnic conflict. Now, they are using music to push back against the idea that those differences define them. Contributor Caitlin Kelly reports from Juba, South Sudan, for The Monitor. Women on board 19th century clipper ships were not always welcome. But when the captain of Neptune's car fell ill, the skill and savvy of his 19-year-old wife, who was also pregnant at the time, brought the voyage to a safe conclusion, as told in the new book, The Sea Captain's Wife. Contributor Barbara Spindle writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on discernment that shatters online falsehoods. The private lives of political leaders have long been fair game for opponents and investigative reporters, and increasingly, amateur internet sleuths and online provocateurs. When the high-profile individuals are female, whether leaders themselves or their wives or partners, studies show that the scrutiny tends to be harsher and more speculative. The scandalization and personalization of news is profitable, observed the Character Assassination and Reputation Politics Research Lab, a joint initiative between an American and a Dutch university. However, this trend not only diminishes the public standing or credibility of the politician, but also diverts attention from substantive policy discussions. Progressively powerful internet-enabled searching and sharing amplifies both facts and fictions, honest persuasion as well as embedded prejudices. This week, as the Monitor reports, a Paris court convicted 10 individuals of degrading, insulting, and malicious cyber harassment of French First Lady Brigitte Macron. 7 of the defendants claimed their posts were meant in jest or constituted legitimate debate. Within democracies, it seems, the demand confronting citizens and governments is how to better practice and protect core values that undergird freedom of speech and expression, as well as civic dialogue that avoids rancor. And the United States cherished First Amendment rights and definitions of truth, lies, and intended malice are at the heart of a defamation lawsuit that Ms. Macron and her husband, Emmanuel Macron, have filed in Delaware. They allege that conservative American influencer Candace Owens uses a business model of spreading false information and is running a campaign of global humiliation and promoting claims that Ms. Macron is male by birth. With 5.6 million subscribers on YouTube and over 6.5 million on Instagram, Ms. Owens's statements have a wide reach. The online proliferation of contradictory or unverifiable information from thousands of sites and content creators often leaves social media followers confused and at a loss over what to believe. How can individuals protect themselves from being targeted or taken in by such claims? For Reverend David Wilson Rogers, a minister and regular media contributor, the imperative for social media users and consumers is refusing to outsource our moral and spiritual judgment to a machine, a meme, or realistic video. As he wrote in the Carlsbad Current Argus last month, securing the future of truth requires exercising our character, our discernment, our humility, prayerful reflection, and diligent research. Nearly 120 years ago, during an era rife with the yellow journalism that perhaps presaged today's internet slop and rage baiting, it was just such discernment and prayerful reflection that led religious pioneer Mary Baker Eddy to found this publication. Her object in doing so, to injure no man but to bless all mankind, is a fitting standard for today's online culture. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we increasingly trust in the all-good God and understand that we reflect His nature, we experience greater success in right endeavors. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Noel Flatt, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.